Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. I just mentioned, Ray, that watching on my couch in Toronto, it had that kind of playoff atmosphere. You could almost feel it seeping through the screen. You were in the building. What was the vibe like?
Rare in a regular season game to have, like, you know, feel tension or excitement like that. Because a lot of times, you know, the games are good or the games are bad, and people are there watching them, and they cheer when they score. But because there was both sides in the building, it was awesome. That was a really fun night of hockey to broadcast. And then, the way it ends is, you know, I mean, it's like a lightning bolt. I mean, that game could have been over three times, four times in overtime, and then, you know, Matthews gets the one chance, and man, like what a shot! Holy smokes, that thing was off his stick and, like, zip, gone. And if it doesn't hit Ullmark, it's in, right? I mean, how's he going to catch up to that shot?
No way. Yeah, he had no shot. That thing, like you said, it was a missile.
Yeah.
But we had a bit of a debate in the previous hour about which Matthews goal was actually more impressive. Because I thought the first one, in terms of just picking it out of the air and putting it on your stick and getting it off your stick far post that quickly, that's tough to do, man.
I would think the first one involved way more athleticism, way more agility. I mean, the second one's a stunning shot, right? Because it's so late. But just think, so the puck's up in the air. Most players have two hands on their stick at that time. So he's got to take one hand off his stick, and he's, as this is coming, he's processing, I'm going to catch it and throw it over here. Right? He caught it right off the top of Beaulieu's helmet. And then drops it back in front of him. And actually, after the game, I was kind of pissed at myself that I don't think I talked about it enough. Like, it happened so fast. I was like, I couldn't, it's like I didn't really process it enough to all the things that went into a play that was in, like, literally 10 feet. He caught it. He dropped it. He didn't drop it too far. You know, he dropped it right in front of him. It was perfect. And you might think, well, where the hell else is he going to drop it? Lots of guys drop it, and it rolls in the corner. And he drops it, and then he knows he's got a race to the post. And he beat the goalie there. It's just it was an awesome play.
He is such a stud, man. I mean, I know we pump his tires. We've been pumping his tires since he was in Switzerland, just hoping the Leafs would win the lottery. But there are rare moments where, as a fan, you get to take a step back, and you're like, pretty lucky this guy plays on this team.
Yeah, I sent it to Duthie like a couple times, and Pooley and Bob. I'm like, doesn't it seem like he scores every game he plays?
He does.
He does.
He's got 15 goals in 14 games.
I know, but even going back to last year, he had some injuries, and then he gets back to the lineup. It's like, okay, he scored this game. And it's like, you always know, for me, I get to analyze an Austin Matthews goal every game. It's cool.
The biggest, you just like to see him play 82. He did the first year and got 40, right? So, I mean, he didn't get...
I think even now, Noodles, with the games he's missed, Gord was doing some fancy math in his head there on the drive home. I think he's still on a 53 or 54 goal pace, and he's missed 14 games.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. Yeah. I know there's more goals this year, or there seems like there's more goals, but every time, like, I'm actually almost more surprised when he doesn't score. To what you said, like, when he scores, you're kind of like, man, he scored. Of course he did.
Yeah. He's one of the few guys that's like, oh, he's in a one-game slump.
Slump.
It's like, if he doesn't score when we do a game, right, it's like, no, he's in a slump.
Man, he changes the whole outlook of that team. I was watching the way that Buffalo's trying to match and get guys out against, is it Tavares' line? Is it Matthews' line? It's like, and now when, you know, Nylander's going to show up and start playing, man, it's going to, this was the whole point of what we thought when, you know, they signed Tavares, is that what a matchup nightmare it's going to be. Because you can't play the whole game back on your heels. You still got to try and attack. But how much do you really want to attack? Because you make a little mistake and out they come, and you're screwed. You can't catch them. You can't defend against them. There's too much there. It's going to be something to watch here. I'm really interested how they'll align the lines, how they'll use the lines, how the players will, you know, be utilized by Babcock. I'm really interested in it because it's pretty fascinating to me.
Ray, I know we get like just crazy at our station. Radio, television, we predict things. We sometimes take things out of context. But instead of having an absolute sideshow, do you think there's any chance that these other two kids, that they can just make it work and say, I want to be a Maple Leaf and I don't want to hold out and let's just get this over and let's play hockey and do it as opposed to an absolute sideshow next year? Because I honestly don't know if I can do it again next year.
Well, I don't think they're too worried about us to start with. I don't think it's going to go into next year because I don't see any way that it could. Like, I honestly, guys, we talk about it every year, and then you talk to some people around the rink, and they're like, there's never going to be an offer sheet. I can't remember a team that potentially could be under this much stress, cap importance-wise, with Marner and Matthews, and then to a lesser degree, Gardner and Kapanen for next July 1st. So this will all be done, in my opinion. We won't have this Nylander thing again. How it'll play out, I don't know. Will they take less? I don't know. I mean, how much less? Like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about $2.5 million a year? Because if that's the case, forget it. No chance.
Right.
Well, you just mentioned something that I haven't thought of and hasn't been brought up a lot. Everyone's focused on Matthews and Marner, and they're going to get the offer sheets. Kapanen's a sneaky one. Because there might be a team out there that goes, you know what, I'll give him $5 million because I think he's a really good player. The Leafs can't pay him five. You know, like, that's the one that you could see a team be like, I like him. He's a good player. The Leafs are going to have to squeeze him because he's only been in the league for a year.
Yeah, and if he's on our top power play unit, who knows, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
That's the one that could, you wake up and you're like, whoa, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Sorry. Noodles, I was just going to say, and the danger, of course, for the Leafs is that, you know, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, but that's just Kapanen. Well, Chicago had to do that with a lot of Kapanens. And then pretty soon they didn't have enough players.
Right.
Andrew Ladd, Dustin Byfuglien, Nick Jalmerson. Eventually they're all gone. And you've got a couple of really great players and then a bunch of guys that aren't so great. I mean, this is why there feels like, to me anyway, there feels like an urgency this year because of the contracts. Now, maybe it'll all work out and it won't seem so urgent next September. But right now, it's like, man, they got a great, great chance this year. So whatever they have to do, you got to chase it now.
I don't know if there's an urgency, but you'd like to think, man, like, nobody really scares me. There's Nashville and Winnipeg who are big and tough and talented, but...
Well, I don't want to put a damper on things. Are you concerned that they're giving up 40 shots a game?
I talked about it in the pregame. If they think they're going to go where they want to go, they got to...
Well,
and I stopped using the word physicality. I'm like, show some physicality, like hit a guy and knock him off the puck, because they just don't do that.
But they've given up now 40 shots in 8 of the last 10 games.
Yeah.
And what I felt like I learned, I think this Leaf team is a lot like Tampa last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember John Cooper telling us last year, and then again this year when we interviewed him, they relied on Vasilevsky a lot last year.
Doesn't it seem like Jamie, team? 5 games down the road, the coach is going to say, I've been warning these guys,
well,
give up these shots.
Listen, the Leafs have 20 wins, so I'm not good. This isn't a negative situation. I'm talking about getting ready for a playoff run and a long playoff run. When the Tampa Bay Lightning last year, I did a game in Tampa, and I remember talking to Braden Colburn and Strawman. I know those guys. So they were saying, man, our goalie, until we get rolling, he makes some big saves. And he's kind of like, he's been that good. And I feel like that's what Freddie does. And then the team kind of takes over and can score and all of that. But Vasilevsky hit the ditch near the end of the season. He was tired. He was worn down. And a lot of these, you know, it's because you're facing a lot of shots and you're facing a lot of duress. Like, that would be my only... I guess if I don't want to sound negative, that would be my only concern. I haven't seen a lot of articles and stuff written about that lately.
It's pretty easy to get on the train, isn't it? Like, everything's going so well. It doesn't even matter if they play good or bad. They beat whoever's wearing the other jersey. But they still have cap space this year. I would be personally surprised if this is the group that we see, you know, April the 15th. And a change. I would think it's not window dressing changes they're going to make. Like if they're going to add a player, I see somebody of impact. Like that's the position they're in now. It might cost you more than you want, like mm-hmm. asset wise, but man, I know it's just early December here, but they've got a chance. Like this is a legit chance. Lifelong Leaf fans must be having a tough time containing themselves. Like they can't even wait for April to show up.
Absolutely. No, salivating in Toronto because, I mean, there's no dispute. There isn't any, there's no such thing as a perfect team. You're just not going to see the late 70s Habs or the mid 80s Oilers or the 02 Wings. It doesn't happen. So there's no question that they were going to have their flaws.
But, chance, though.
Man, they're talented. I don't even think you have to necessarily look at the rest of the league and say no one scares you. I think it's just simply an internal evaluation. They're really good. They're really talented. And now Nylander's back, and he's going tomorrow night. He hasn't practiced with the team. He hasn't had a training camp, and he's going against Detroit. Are you surprised by that?
A little bit. Because of the no practice stuff, I thought that, you know, they were going to, you know, they would want to get him into one for sure. I don't know, if he plays, you know, 12 to 14 minutes tomorrow, that'll probably be enough. He'll probably feel like, he's racing uphill most of the night anyway. There's a couple more. They don't practice anymore, though. That's the toughest part, is like if you want to get a practice where guys are bumping around a little bit, there's virtually none of those. So maybe they just feel that, we're going to get one practice if he waits past Thursday, but let's just play anyway. Maybe they're not going to practice Friday, right? Maybe they're going to have the day off and get ready for Saturday and have a morning skate or who knows. But I was surprised. I thought he would be a couple of more days.
Yeah, and starting in Boston on Saturday, there's some nostalgic, there's a nostalgic element to that, but also that would be a tough way to be dropped into the bucket, you know, on the road against that team. That's a loud, energetic building. There's history between the two teams. They may be thinking, listen, it's not going to be a Picasso tomorrow night, but let's get them in against a Detroit team who's not very good. We're at home. You know, the reaction tomorrow night will be interesting. You know, that'll be a big conversation tomorrow. Right. What kind of reaction is he going to get when he first steps on the ice?
Or get a cheer. Don't you think?
I think he will, but there were people that weren't happy with this. A lot of people that weren't happy. Like, mm-hmm. You know, you waited, you missed 25 games, and, you know, it's easy for us to say it's a business, and we maybe get it. You guys would. You guys all played in the game. It was your life. It was a business. But for Joe Blow sitting up in the stands,
well, Joe Blow's like, oh, world. You're getting paid a lot of money. One missed pass or you fall down, everyone's like, oh, and then that snowballs into.
That's true.
But I did say this, and Ray, I think you can back this up. Like, now every conversation we have about William Nylander, salary is going to be involved.
Yep.
That's
not right, but it is. But the thing is, I hope people understand, not just with Nylander, I mean, they can do whatever they want, but with any player, Nylander signs, he's making a bucket load of money, and he's still the same player as he was yesterday.
Right.
Same guy. He's a lot happier on the 15th of every month.
Yeah, there's no question.
But that's got nothing to do about, he's not going to be more physical, he's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be blocking shots because, oh, I'm making more money, I better block some shots now. Like, he's going to be William Nylander. And I think the best is to come for him, but there is going to be more pressure for sure. Whether he acknowledges it or not, I mean, it'll be around him. He doesn't look like he runs into confidence issues too often.
No, I don't expect that to be the case.
With that hair, you just can't.
No, that type of flow and the beard going, the bank account now, there's no way you can have confidence issues.
That's look good.
Because that is
a good flow. Damn.
Oh, it's hate spectacular
him for that.
Salad.
A walking, living, flowing, triple gin and tonic, panty dropper.
Because of all the material that came out of the weekend.
You are such a knucklehead.
Just incredible. He's flying today, right?
Yeah,
he's flying.
He is flying.
He's
and
feeling
Nylander's
it.
Flying.
Because of all the material that came out of the weekend on Monday, we never brought up the Tom Wilson hit from Friday in Jersey. And now Wilson is back in the news because he was on the receiving end of one of those hits where there was some kind of similar stuff. Ryan Reeves got him last night. Now, Reeves is a guy who plays on the edge and does some stupid stuff, too. And he's out there to instigate and cause problems, and Wilson does as well. And I know a lot of people hate on Tom Wilson, and the word karma's come up a lot. You don't want to see a guy bang his head off the ice.
There's some journalists, too, that are like, good for Tom Wilson, deserves it. It's like, are you serious?
Well, yeah, those journalists are dopes, though. You act like that, like, you know, that's ridiculous.
Get what you deserve, you get what your karma, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, God.
Well, in terms of Wilson, though... I mean, and Reeves, I guess. The league isn't going to suspend Reeves, and no. I think because they didn't suspend Wilson on Friday night. But
I thought it was, you know what? I thought from what the message they want to bring, it was late. There was no elbow to the head, but it was violent in a late hit where you can really hurt somebody. I thought there should have been a suspension.
On Ryan Reeves, you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
On Wilson, though?
I thought the 5 minutes was plenty. Like, I thought,
for Reeves?
That's enough. Yeah, for Reeves yesterday.
I don't know. That was...
But, I mean, my first thought when I saw it was, oh, man, his helmet's off. Like, that was what... I didn't think immediately, oh, man, he hit him in the head. It didn't look like it to me. You know, as far as the people, you know, almost gleefully pointing out that Wilson got hurt, I mean, I don't quite understand why people are like that. I mean, I guess I do, but I just don't see it.
They have sad lives, so they see people
fail. It's
just
not right. Man, the guy's head bounced off the ice. What Wilson has done in the past, I think we've all been as critical as anybody else about him, right? I mean, it's like it's garbage. He shouldn't do it, and he should be suspended. And he got 20 games, and I'm glad he did. The league shouldn't have reduced, or the arbitrator, in my mind, made a mistake reducing it to 14. Like, I think he should have got them all. But that doesn't mean I want to see him get hit. As far, you know, and then Todd Reardon's talking after the game that, you know, he was a targeted player. Reeves was talking to him between the whistles. You could hear it. So?
Yeah. That's like, you earn that.
Well, Tom Wilson's like, done that. Yeah, game. Todd Reardon, that was classic.
But you can't make Tom Wilson the sympathetic figure. It happened. And you never want to see anything, regardless of who's involved, whether that's Tom Wilson or not, you never want to see anybody get hurt and hit their head on the ice and anything like that. As far as, like, oh, poor Tom Wilson, they were chirping him and targeting him. Yeah, that's part of hockey. Like, you target top players. Whether you like it or not, he plays a pretty important role for the Washington Capitals. And if you take a look at his stat line, he's had a real nice start when he has played the games.
Well, I read this article about the NHL or the, you know, the broadcasters. They're looking at trying to get a little more access. They talk about having a broadcast where once a week the entire game is mic'd, all the players are mic'd, and it's, you know, it's just what it is what you see. And I'm like, people think they're going to like that. They're not going to like that. They're not going to like what's said, or the players aren't going to say anything. But they're not going to like some of the discussions they hear. And I think some people would love it, others would be offended by it. And so what was Reeves trying to bully Wilson yesterday? You bet he was. And that's part of it. What do you think football players say when they get up after a play? Nice tackle?
Yeah.
Or are they saying, yeah, next time I'm going to stick my finger in your eye? Like, come on. It's not like, it's not pleasant. And what happened last night, prior to the hit, is part of the gamesmanship of the game. I don't have a real issue with that at all. I think Reardon missed the boat on that one.
Yeah. Well, coaches do that all the time. If it's their guy, they have one stance. If it's against their guy, it's the coaching playbook. All right, buddy. Well, we'll tee up the game tomorrow. We'll get into the William Nylander conversation because we haven't talked enough about William Nylander.
Yeah, we should get to that. Just think, he's playing, right? Is he going to wear 29 again?
I believe he's playing, and we should start talking about what kind of money he can make in 6 years. If he starts off hot tomorrow night, what's his next deal going to look like?
If he starts with 2 goals in 3 games, he's going to hit the jackpot.
Yeah,
I wonder if he had conversations with Odoganov saying, I'm 92. Any thoughts? Want to switch? Because he's originally a 92, or his dad was, and he switched to 29 because Lou said
he wouldn't want to put that pressure on himself to wear your jersey.
Yeah, I think O'Dogginov's done a good enough job of dealing with that heat.
Of sewering the number.
Yeah.
Basically just depleting its value.
But he was flying.
In camp, he was flying.
In camp, he was flying.
All right, Ray. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Later, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.